What did I do with my... Y'all get back up. Y'all get back up. I got to make one more run to my office. DC, go to my office and get my tablet that's plugged in. I got so busy trying to practice and got so I was worshiping. DC said, Daddy, that's not the way to do this song. I said, son, I'm worshiping. He said, worship after we play. After we learn it. I said, okay. And whew. God is awesome. Now I'm playing hide and seek. There you go. Last week was the last week on the storm. It was 2 weeks on the storm. And as I was doing that, like I told you, I was torn. And so the Lord told me, just go ahead and let it rip this week. So I told you last week would be the last week on the storm, but then another storm came up the Gulf Coast, attacked our coast last night. Did y'all know? Not our coast, but the Gulf Coast. Y'all know that? Thank you, bro. Yeah. It hit the Gulf Coast last night. It was a Category 1, and it went to a Category 2, and I think it struck at a Category 1. But, I mean, every time you turn around, there's more and more storms. Usually, the last couple of years, they kept predicting how bad everything was going to be. And it wasn't. This year, it's been bad. Everywhere you look, there's storms, right? But I hadn't read this story. Sister Grace at the Covenant opened a letter from home and found a $100 bill from her parents. She smiled at the gesture, and as she read the letter by the window, she noticed a shabby-dressed stranger leaning against the lamppost below her. Quickly, she wrote, "Don't despair, Sister Grace." On a piece of paper, wrapped a $100 bill in it and tossed it out the window. The stranger picked it up, read the note. He tipped his hat to Sister Grace and hurried away. The next day, Sister Grace was told that a man was asking to see her, or that man. So she went down and found the stranger waiting. Without a word, he handed her a huge wad of $100 bills. "What's this?" she asked. "That's your $8,000, sister." He replied, "Don't despair, paid 80 to 1. All right. No, we got all kinds of homecomings around here. So if you're trying to see somebody, I've had people tell me I'm going to homecoming today. If you don't see me, I'm at a homecoming. Well, ours comes next week, right? Isn't ours next week? No, ours is the 20th. The 22nd. So on the 22nd, y'all invite everybody, tell everybody who weren't here today that homecoming, they got to bring somebody from their homecoming, that homecoming here with us. Amen. You know, it's amazing to me how people want to invite you to their church and have a fit if you don't go, but they won't come with you. So next time they say, if you're going to come, we invite you to my church, you just, here's what you do. Would you come to mine if I invited you? And if they say, this is just training. And if they say, no, I can't leave my church, then say, why would you like for me to leave mine then? Amen. That's tough, but it's right. Okay. Because I hear all the time, well, I was just visiting somebody because my friend was about to cry because I wouldn't go visit. I said, well, bring them with you. And they go, well, they don't want to come to anybody else's church. Well, then they need to go by themselves to theirs. Amen. That's just common courtesy. And I know that sounds kind of rough, but, you know, I just get tired of hearing it all the time. You know, I want to see it. Don't preach me a sermon. Show me one. That's what you tell them. So now, here we go. I love this. Look at this. Don't confuse your path with your destination. This is about to storm a little bit now. Don't confuse your path with your destination. Just because it's stormy now doesn't mean that you aren't headed for sunshine. Let's just raise our hand. Before we put this up here, let me show you this. How to stay strong during life's challenges. Remind me again. Show me one more time, God. Help me out now. Tell me how blessed I am. Somebody comes to me. I'm going to tell you something. When somebody's lost a loved one, don't tell them. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. Please don't tell them. Somebody's just lost a loved one. Say, well, God's got a plan. Don't tell them that. They don't want to hear that. Don't tell them they're better off. Just say, I'm here for you, and I want to help any way I can. Okay? Because you don't know God's plan. And the more I study grief, and the more I study helping people get through things, I don't even say that anymore. I should say God's got a plan. You know, I will say this, God's got you. That's fine. God's got you. It's okay to say, I'm here for you if you need me. If you let me know what you need done, I'm here. But don't tell them, well, God's got a plan. Or don't tell them, you know, well, they're in a better place. Just say, what is it? I'm here for you. I'm hurting with you. I want you to know that whatever you need, I'm here for you. Guess what? You'll mean more to that person. I messed up a little while back. I was talking to another preacher friend of mine, and I'm thinking it's a preacher. He'll know what we're talking about. And he had lost his wife last year. And the Lord really hit me hard this night. I mean, I might as well took a 2x4 and popped me between the eyes. I said, well, she's in a better place. And he said, but she's not here with me right now, and got mad. And I said, oops, I just broke one of my training rules. You know, he wouldn't talk to me the rest of the night that I talked to him. The next 5-10 minutes was all surface talk. I shut him down. I shut him all the way down. I was ministering to him. And once I said, she's in a better place. And he said, look, but she's not here with me right now. It was over. I just as well have just done cold water on the whole thing. So when you find somebody in a bind, remember, don't be saying that stuff. Just go, I'm here for you. I want to help you. Anything I can do to help, I will. Just know that I'm your friend. I'm here. Please help me understand. Whatever, but that's it. Okay? That's good stuff. Somebody says good stuff. So how to stay strong during life's challenges. Okay, so here we go. You know, I was looking at the storms and thinking about all the storms that's coming on us and how the Gulf Coast is being plummeted right now with earthquakes and not the East Coast, but the Gulf Coast. Y'all know, if anybody knows this, the Gulf Coast is actually one of the most powerful coasts that we have as far as that's where all the refineries are at. That's where the oil comes in at. A lot of times, there's still oil coming this way too, but I'm saying is the Gulf Coast and the East Coast are two of the most powerful coasts. If you go down the East Coast, the military bases are all up and down the East Coast. You got the military bases, especially in North Carolina. You got that going on here, and you got it going there. So there's been a lot of things going on, and it's very easy to get discouraged. And just like that guy that shot everybody up in Las Vegas last week, he did not have terrorist ties. Matter of fact, nobody, his own brother, his own people said, we had no idea he would do this. None. But everybody has a breaking point. And at that breaking point, you have to watch out. So it's very important that we watch how we talk to people and what we say. And I reckon that's why maybe the Las Vegas thing has got me talking about this morning. But the more I study it, the more I see it, the more I understand, I don't want to be the one that helped push somebody over the edge. Okay? I want to be one that's going to lead them to some help and to some hope and know that God's got them. Amen? So here we go. Here we go. Now we're going to get on here. How to stay strong during life's challenges. Remind me again. You know, it's easy to get caught up in what's happening in your life and forget that God's got you. I put up some stuff just to talk about. You have to fight through some bad days to earn the best days of your life. You have to fight through some bad days to earn the best days of your life. It's easy to look at the person beside you and say, man, I wish I had their life. I had a guy in my church in Benson could have bought anything the church needed with cash anytime, anywhere. He came to me one day and said, Pastor, we owed $14,000 on the parsonage. He came to me and said, Pastor, it's tax time. He said, and I need to donate some money. I said, okay. I thought he was going to talk about a couple hundred dollars. He said, you got anywhere we could put $14,000? I said, sure. And the parsonage was paid off the next day. Then he come up and he bought a piece of land beside the church to keep another church from building right beside us. He bought about 50 acres. 50 acres. This man was a very powerful man in the county, but he had arthritis so bad that his hands were like this. He was in a wheelchair because he couldn't walk, a motorized wheelchair. He had heart problems. His neck was so big he couldn't even get a shirt to fit him. If it fit his neck, it wouldn't fit the rest of his body, so he had special made shirts. And he was about this tall, when you could see how tall he was. He had two sons, and one of his sons actually had committed suicide in the house. And so this man had gone through some bad, bad stuff. And all I kept hearing all the time was, man, that guy's got it made. I wish I had his money. If I had his money, I know I'd have it made. And I had that man call me in his office one day. Out of the blue, I went in his office and he said, shut the door. And I shut the door. He looked at me and said, Pastor, and he started crying. He said, I would give you everything I've got in the bank if I could just get out of this chair one more time and walk to you. If just one more time I could embrace my wife. And not long after that, I walked out and heard just how much he had it made. No, he didn't. So it's easy to see everybody around you think they've all got it made, but you know what? Everybody's bearing a cross. There's not a person in here that's not bearing a cross. But the promise is, for every cross, there's a crown. God's going to take care of things. So you have to fight through some bad days during the best of days. So here's some reminders I want you to remember. As a matter of fact, this might get you happy. If this don't get you happy, at least maybe it'll get you to smile a little bit, okay? Watch this. Reminder number one. You have a 100% track record of getting through everything in your life. Come on now. How many here has ever been killed by your storm? Raise your hand. No hands are being raised. Everybody in here, you've got a 100% record for getting through everything in your life. I love 2 Corinthians 4:7. I use the Message a lot, especially for this, just to go through and show the Greek and the Hebrew. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles. We've been demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. Amen. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. Praise the Lord. Amen. Watch this. Watch this. I tell them all the time, you're still breathing, aren't you? Your heart's still beating. You have what it takes to walk ahead powerfully. God's give you His word. God give you His anointing. God give you His promise. No matter what comes our way, He's there for us. He will help us. He will help us endure the problems. He knows that we have a cross. But you know what? He showed us that nobody can carry their cross alone, because even Jesus fell under the weight of the cross, and God sent Simon the Cyrene by to pick up His cross. How many's ever heard, sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield? Amen? Well, sometimes you've got to carry the cross up, Calvary, and sometimes you're Simon the Cyrene. Sometimes you're helping somebody else, and sometimes somebody's got to help you. But I'm here to remind you, God, here's what you to say. Every day, here's what you to say. Say it right now. I will be okay. Say it. This, you just hear everybody go and wake up, wake up, wake up. Good. Now I'm going to say shake up, shake up, shake up. Watch this. Everything will be okay. Look at somebody and say, everything will be okay. Now look at somebody else and say, watch this. Watch this. God always gets us through somehow. So watch this. I will trust Him. Say that. I will trust Him. Praise the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lord. Isn't that cool? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Now watch this one. Oh, I love this one here. Stay strong. Weather the storm. It will pass and you will make it through. Amen. Watch this. Here's my favorite verse in the Bible. I love this. Get ready. My favorite verse in the Bible. Some of y'all, it's your favorite verse too. Ready? Oh, come on. That thing, the memory's getting crazy. Hold on just a second. Y'all look at somebody and say, he's fixing that. Yeah. I didn't always got to be IT today. Everybody know what IT? One does. Where's he at? Jordan. He's the IT guy. Let's see here. Yeah. These little things here are awesome, except for one thing. They don't have a good memory. Let's see here. Hold on, here we go. We'll bring her back up. Honestly, this one here, I've got it all in here. It's perfect. I've checked it 5, 6, 7 times. It's perfect. The problem is the memory it gives out, because it is called a Microsoft Stream. It does not have much memory, and it'll automatically shift stuff into place where I don't want it. And it burns up the memory. What little bit's left? Operation memory. Here we go. But you're right. It's only as smart as one operating it. That's a fact. Okay. We got this. Watch this. Here we go. Let's try it again. One. Yeah, there you go. Let's try this again. I'm telling you, we're talking about trials. Here we go. You had to fight through some bad days to get through some good ones. Number two. Here we go. Let's try it again. Reminder number two. There it goes again. This too shall pass. Go ahead. We're going to pass through that too. This too shall pass. Ready? 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, and not a day goes by without us without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things that we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things that we cannot see will last forever. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18. So watch this. Here it goes. Ready? Storms come and go. Amen? Oh, come on there, computer. Praise God. But remember, this is a season, and it'll eventually pass. It's like a kidney stone. It'll pass. It may not be pleasant, but it will pass. Amen. All right, hold on. There's only six reminders, so y'all going to get out of here fast today. You have actually beat the Baptist to McDonald's. Matter of fact, you even beat the Methodist to McDonald's today. I love this. A diamond is a chunk of coal that did really well under pressure. A diamond is a chunk of coal that did really good under pressure. Isn't that cool? So watch this. Here we go. Here it is. Come on up here, reminder. Praise God. Diamonds are made under pressure, and so were you. Your challenges will be the making of you, not the breaking of you. Here it is, Romans 5:3-5. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. Matter of fact, I love this. This is so awesome. Life's challenges, pressures, when it's pressuring you, it softens your rough edges. Did you know that? Once this pressure hits you, it softens your rough edges. How many here know somebody in your life that really just grinds you and grates you when you hear them talk or when you see them get around them? You can raise your hand, just don't point. If you point, we're going to be in trouble. Do you know that if you got somebody in your life that grinds you and grates you every time they're around you, you know what God's doing, why He keeps them in your life? They're sandpaper. And God uses them to smooth the rough edges. Wow. Sometimes I'm thinking, God, I didn't realize I was that rough. Amen. So look, and on the other side of this challenge, you're going to shine again brighter than before. Know that. But here we go. This is what I've been waiting for. Here's couldn't hardly wait to get this one right here. Reminder number four. Come on, buddy. Wake up. Pain can change you, but doesn't mean that. Look, pain can change you, but that doesn't mean it has to be a bad change. Take that pain and turn it into wisdom. That's just reminder number four. All challenges can turn into wisdom. Matter of fact, the Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you needeth wisdom, ask he of God, which giveth to all men largely, that giveth to all men largely. I love that. And abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. James 1:5. So watch this. The difference in knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is know-how. I know a lot of people that's got know-how, but they don't know how to execute it. Wisdom is how to. Wisdom is how to use the know-how. And so we might have some knowledge, but until we go through the trials and learn how to work it correctly, then we might know how, but we don't know how. Amen? We can be in the way. So here we go. Get ready. Challenges form greater understanding. I want you to understand this. Challenges form greater understanding, skills, and wisdom in life. There's a purpose to what you're going through. Trust God. Now, how many remember telling a story about Georgia? Georgia, their big crop was cotton. At the turn of the century, they were growing cotton. And the boll weevil came along. They didn't have the modern technology that we have today. So when the boll weevil came along, they could not stop the boll weevil. The boll weevil was killing Georgia because it was eating up their cash crop. I want y'all to listen. Listen carefully. Their cash crop was cotton. It was eating up all their cash. It was taking them, sucking them dry. There was nothing they can do. One of the farmers started praying. As he started praying, the Lord says, start searching. Find something else. And one of the farmers found peanuts. And so he told the other guy, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try planting peanuts. And he said, why in the world would you plant peanuts? He said, because peanuts are not affected by the boll weevil. And they laughed at him. And he planted peanuts anyway. He made in 3 months what the year before he couldn't make the whole year with cotton. In 3 months. The other guy said, you know what? Maybe you got a point there. I think about back when I was in Bible college the first time. And I was taking the general epistles, and it was hard, and the guy weren't cutting us a bit of slack. And DC's mama showed me a way to study with, get a spiral thing of note cards and write them down, just flip, write them down a question and flip. And while you're riding down the road, wherever you're at, just carry it in your pocket. And when you get a chance while you're riding down the road, take it and flip it and just keep studying it like this. And so we had this hard test. I think it was like 100 questions. And this test was coming up, and the other preachers were going, man, I don't know what we're going to do about this. This is some tough stuff. And I said, let me show you something my wife showed me. And they said, what is it? And I showed them this note card. And I said, okay, watch this. And I brought it to class, and I showed it to them. And the guy said, can you make us one? I said, you can make your own. I said, well, go ahead and take all your questions, all your study stuff, write it down, and when you're riding down the road, when you're sitting somewhere, while you're whatever, flip it over and keep looking at it. One of the other guys told me, said, I don't need that. I'm a straight-A student. Who in the world would hear of somebody doing something like that? I said, well, I'm a straight-A student too. But I can tell you, remember, we're also pastors and we're family members. We got children. We got so much going on. You better take wise advice and use this thing. He goes, I don't need that. I'm a straight A student. I said, okay. He got mad at me. I said, fine, brother. Brother Welton, that's what you're going to be. Then fine. Test came. We went through the test. The other guys had done what I had showed them to do. We took it, and his note cards did the same thing. Going over the note cards. On the way up to the test, I was going over those note cards. Before the test was passed out, I weren't talking to everybody else. I was going over those note cards. The time came for the test. It lasted, we had like 2 hours to take the test. I did mine in like an hour. The other guys did theirs in like an hour. That guy that said he didn't need them, when the 2 hours up, he was still doing this. When it come time for the test, results come back, we all made A's and B's except for him. He made a D. He came over to me with his hat in his hand and said, hey, Brother David. I said, hey. He said, show me how you do that again. The same way with the boll weevil. They were being eaten by the boll weevil, but the other guy with the peanuts, as soon as the other guy saw the results, they quit laughing at him, and then they started planting peanuts. And guess what? Who was our president that was the peanut farmer? Jimmy Carter, amen. He was known for all his peanuts. There's other things he was known for, too. He was known as the worst president in our lifetime. All right, ready? Ready? Here we go. Number five. I can't wait. Number five. I did some research this week that really blew me away, and I just thought, wow, it's awesome. This is my favorite one. Sometimes good things, y'all listen, sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together. Every story has an end, but in life, every end is just a new beginning. Wow. That is so awesome. Reminder number five, and there goes that crazy memory again. Some things fall apart so that better things can fall together. Watch this. Moreover, we know that those who love God are called according to His plan. Everything fits into a pattern for good. That's the Phillips version of Romans 8:28. Watch this. Sometimes, when you see in the storm, you don't realize that God's actually doing spring cleaning in you, and He's preparing you for a fresh harvest. Amen? But watch this now. This is so awesome. You know, how many's ever, I'm going to test y'all's baseball knowledge. I'm pretty sure there's going to be one or two that remember this name. If you remember, just raise your hand. And if you remember this name, remember what he's famous for, raise your hand the way he would do it. How many remember this baseball player named Mordecai Brown? Okay. Mordecai Brown was born in 1876. He was an awesome baseball player. They told him from the very beginning that he would wind up being a professional baseball player because he was so good. He was a farmer. And as a teenager, he was out working with one of the cutters in the field and got his hand caught in the thing. When he got his hand caught in the blades, it severed his finger right here. You can look it up and you'll see a picture of it on the internet. You'll see it. I'm not making this up. He cut that finger off and he severed or almost severed this finger and injured the others. They said his baseball career would be over. While he's healing, he breaks this finger. They had to amputate that finger. That finger is broken, so it's been like this. So here is Mordecai Brown, a teenager with all this baseball ability, but he's got two fingers that survived. One finger is to the left like this, and he's got a nub. He said, I'm still going to play baseball. And so he started playing baseball again once he got healed. And as he started playing baseball, a semi-pro team picked him up. And as this semi-pro team picked him up, he started playing around where people could actually see what he was doing. He was a third baseman for this in 1898. He was a third baseman for the semi-pro team. And somebody was watching the semi-pro team. He's playing third base. He's throwing the first base. So he's throwing the first base, and the third base coach happened to notice that every time he threw that ball, that his nickname was Three Fingers. That's his nickname, Three Fingers. They noticed when he threw the ball that the ball had a natural cork drop that was almost impossible to catch. And so one night the pitchers were all sick, or either one was sick and the other ones couldn't play, so they put him in. And once they put him in to pitch, nobody could hit. The National Leagues came in once they saw this, and they took him, and they wind up putting him in the major leagues. And so here's this man playing for the major leagues, and so watch this now, watch this. His win-loss record, he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, Three Fingers, played professional baseball. He started playing at 26, kept playing until he was 40. His win-loss record with Three Fingers. 239 wins, 130 losses. His earned run average, how many knows what that is? Was 2.06. He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1949. You see, God was taking something that looked good, took it away from him, gave him something better. If he hadn't had that injury, he would have probably been semi-pro and then gone back to the factory or gone back to the farm. But because of this abnormality that was developed because of a farm accident, he became one of the greatest pitchers of all time. And after he wound up getting out of being a player, he wound up managing baseball unto his death. Wow. Somebody's give God a hand for that. That's just awesome. Amen. So when it seems that you're being beat down, maybe the slate is actually being wiped clean. How many of you ever feel like you're being beat down? Maybe while you're being beat down or feeling like it, God's actually wiping the slate clean so he can do something fresh in your life. Amen? So now, here it comes. The same after the storm's life, you'll be stronger, wiser, more alive than ever before. Here's reminder number 6, and then get ready to close. What we resist persist, so it's vital to let go and flow. I talk to people all the time that everybody's got a problem with them. Everybody has a problem with them, and they don't understand what's wrong with everybody else. I got someone I count, so I even have a mirror. And sometimes I say, have you considered this person might be your main culprit? And I hold up the mirror. If you have a problem with everybody, or everybody's got a problem with you, maybe it's not them. Wow. If you got a problem with one or two, it could be them. Three or four still could be them and you. But everybody, if it's everybody, quit looking out the window and start looking in the mirror. And if you run from every problem you ever come across, run from it. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I told somebody the other day, they were saying, you know, because we're going to, I hate leaving Possum Track, but because my mother-in-law, we're taking care of her, and it's just me, Bethany, and Linda taking care of her, and her dad, and we don't have to be there 24/7, but we have to be available 24/7, and it requires a lot of driving, and a lot of time, and a lot of effort, and we found a house opened up 8 houses down from them. And so we went and looked at it and found out we could get it. So we got the house, not selling the one at Possum Track, but just renting it out. But somebody said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, the first thing I asked myself, and y'all need to ask yourself this too, whenever you do anything, I said to myself, am I running away from something or am I running to something?" Wow. And I said, I'm not running away from anything. I said, I'm running to the aid of my mother-in-law and father-in-law. I did, DC and Daniel and I and their mother, we took care of their grandmother when she was dying last 3 months of her life. We were there every night, but Saturday nights, we were there every night. Every night. It about killed us, but we were there up all night taking care of her with Daddy. Let me ask you a question. When problems happen in your life, if you run from them, here's what's going to happen. If God's trying to teach you something, I talked to somebody the other day. We were sitting in Bojangles, and I was talking to somebody the other day, and he says, man, I don't know what to do. I think I'm just going to get up and go here, and I'll be better off. And I looked at him and told him, I said, well, there's only one problem. He said, what's that? I said, wherever you go, there you'll be. And his eyes got about as big around. He said, can you tell me that one more time? I said, wherever you go, there you'll be. He said, what are you trying to tell me? This is my problem. I said, no, I'm trying to tell you, if God's trying to teach you something, you keep running, God's going to have that same problem wherever you go. Boom, 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 boom. Because he's trying to teach you something. And until you pass that test, you never get promoted. You always get promoted after the test. So if you're not getting promoted after the test, know that you may not have passed that test. Amen? So watch, what we resist persists is so vital to let go and to flow. Ready? Your attitude is everything when it comes to staying strong. Your attitude, not mine. The choice is yours. You can be a victim or you can be a victor. It's yours. And it all starts in your mind. Matter of fact, here's what I say all the time. I say it to myself constantly. What's happening, I don't necessarily like. But God, you already knew it was coming. So because I'm in it and not running from it, then I choose peace. I choose peace. And when things get rough and I'm tempted to run from, the Lord speaks to me again and says, are you running to something, or are you running from something? If you can't think of anything else I said today, I want you to remember Mordecai Brown. And I want you to remember, when something's happening to you, and if it keeps on happening, it keeps on happening, I'm going to tell you what it is. God's put the test out there. You haven't passed the test, and so you haven't had a chance to be promoted. If you pass the test, promotion comes. I picked on my dad one day. They said, where'd your dad go to school? I said, me and dad both went to Chocolaty. They said, really? I said, yeah. I said, matter of fact, he drove my bus. He said, your dad was a bus driver? I said, yeah. He said, that's pretty cool. Your own dad was driving bus. He said, it was easy. We were in the same grade. Daddy did the same thing. He did just like y'all did. DC, come on up here. Here's what I want you to remember now. Let's go back through this. Ready? Reminder number one. Reminder number one. You have a 100% track record of getting through everything in your life. Number two, this is going to pass. Number three, diamonds are made under pressure. Number four, God can turn what you're going through now into wisdom. Number five, sometimes things fall apart so better things can fall together. And number six, what we resist persists. So it's vital to let go and let God flow. This morning, when I got up, I got ready for church. Then I drove all the way to Washington, and I gave my mother-in-law her insulin and gave her her meds, fixed her breakfast. I picked up Bethany, and we come back. But I was sitting there waiting for my mother-in-law to wake up. And my father-in-law, he has no idea. I even wrote this down. But my father-in-law is 85, and this is hard on him, too, very hard on him. And I happened to notice some notes. He'll write notes that God's talking to him. He'll write notes down. He's got a little bitty pad. He doesn't believe in all these electronic stuff like we've got. He just writes them in pads, and I'll give him another pad, and he'll write them. He saves his pads. He has no idea. He walked out with his dog to go feed the birds and the squirrels this morning. And I looked down and I saw this note. And as I see this note, I looked at it and kind of flashed at it. And then I put it back down on his side of the table. And I said, wait a minute. What are you talking to me this morning? And this is what he had written down this morning. He wrote it this morning when he got up at 4 o'clock. We don't need to worry about anything in life. Or we don't need to worry about anything life throws at us. We walk with him. He knows what is ahead. He is strong enough and wise enough to handle it. My 85-year-old father-in-law had no idea I was going to look at that note. He had no idea that he wrote it and I was going to be talking about trials today. He had no idea DC was going to sing Even If. I want to read it one more time. As a matter of fact, I could hardly read his writing. He don't write as good as I do. We don't need to worry about anything life throws at us. His health is failing. His heart is failing. His back hurts him all the time. He can barely walk. He's got a wife that's got Alzheimer's and diabetes so bad. Every morning I'm around giving her 50 cc's of insulin, and I give her 20 at night. And she takes nine different kinds of medicines for that, plus her heart and her Alzheimer's. The other day, my wife took her to the doctor, and she was filling out the paperwork. She looked over at Linda and said, what's my name? It comes and goes. And he preached to me this morning. We don't need to worry about anything life throws at us. We walk with him. He knows what is ahead. He is strong enough and wise enough to handle it. Wow. And then to make things, they'll go ahead and put some icing on the cake. Yesterday, day before yesterday, he gave me some letters. He said, can you put these in the mailbox when you leave? And there was five or six letters to different charities that are building stuff overseas and taking care of people down in Texas and taking care of people in Florida and taking care of people in Haiti and all this. And he talks about the Indians up north. He calls them his children, his Indian children and his Haiti children. And his children in Texas, and he's more concerned about what's going on with them, and he's writing all of them little checks to send off to them. And then this. Wow. I am so glad that we serve a God that's hanging with you. If you're 0 to 100, he's still hanging with you. And he's still taking care of business no matter what. Our God is an on-time God and an awesome God. And I thank him for what he does for us. When we went to go try to find this house, something that was crazy about that too. Years ago when we were closing on Possum Track, we were in the lawyer's office. And there was a young preacher and his wife in there closing on their house, and they were all two pieces because they weren't sure if the bank was going to come through. And they were trying to get it all figured out. And we got stuck because somebody else came in at the last minute. And so we were stuck out in the hallway, not the hallway, but in the waiting room with this young couple. And we ministered to them. And we ministered to them and ministered to them. We prayed with them. And I thought that was the last we were going to see of them, until this house opened up. When I looked at this house, somebody said, you know, a preacher lived here. I said, really? He said, yeah, he got moved to another church. I said, well, that's awesome. I said, who was it? And it said, told me his name. It didn't really ring a bell. And then Facebook dings, and the pastor's wife talks to Linda and says, hey, Linda, do you remember that day at the lawyer's office when you were there at the right moment, at the right time? We were under trial, and you were there to comfort us. And Linda said yes, and said, now you're trying to comfort your mother, and you're needing a house close by your mother. She said, I just want you to know that was our house that you got. God's awesome. God's awesome. God is awesome. Let's all stand. God's got you. God's got you. 100%. God's got you. Just going to open the altars. You got anything you need from God, today's the day. Come on up. Come on to the altar. You need to talk to God about anything. Come and talk to Him. Come and just let it all out on the altar. Just give it to Him. If you're going through trials, I want you to remember, this too is going to pass. If God's allowing it, there's a reason. You're growing from it. Something special is happening. Hang on. If you keep going through the same thing over and over and over again, here's what I want you to remember. If you keep on going through it, maybe you resisted it. And God's saying, quit resisting. Learn from it. Pass the test. Get a promotion to the next test. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Come on and pray. Come on and pray and trust Him. Come on. God's got something special for us. God's got something special for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 Lord, help me learn it so I can go ahead and get promoted. Help me learn from it so I can go ahead and step forth. God, help me quit looking out in the mirror. I mean, out the window and start looking in the mirror. God, is there something I'm doing wrong? Show me. Help me. Help me, God. I love you, and I praise your name. I praise your name. Even if. The first time I heard that song, Even If, it ministered to me. It spoke to me. But nothing like it did when they had the song Minute come on. And the song Minute come on, and the guy that wrote that song started talking about that child that he had that was a special needs child. And as he began to talk about that special needs child and all the things that went on, and how he told God, even if you don't change things, I'm still going to serve you. And that's why he wrote that song. Wow. Every time I hear that song now, God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Because He lives. Let's sing that, y'all. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Messed you up there, brother. I'm sorry. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know
He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Come on Tuesday nights, we're talking about finding your purpose in God. And I'm going to just tell you a little preview. We opened up a little different Tuesday night. I'm not sure exactly what everybody was expecting, but I talked about these two young men. Both young men were raised for the ministry. Both young men were trained by the greatest at their time for the ministry. One was trained in a monastery, and the other one was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. Both had made impacts, great impacts for the world. Both were going places. Both went the wrong way, but God got a hold of one and turned him the right way. One was the Apostle Paul, trained at the feet of Gamaliel. The other one was Adolf Hitler. Wow. It's amazing how God's got something for all of us to do, but sometimes we miss it. And it's nice to know that we can find it. Amen? And not have to wonder. We can find it. So come on Tuesday night. We're talking about this. Beth is the one that started it, y'all. Y'all can thank her or fuss at her. But she said, Dad, how do I know God's purpose in my life? And so I went right home right then and started working on it. Gave her a copy of that rough outline right to start with. And I said, just hold on to it. You'll get a better outline later. And the next week she had a better outline. Amen. How do we know God's purpose in our life? Amen. Brother Steve, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?